Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. In the wake of the April 10th Department of Justice report and findings regarding the Albuquerque Police Department, or APD, and as another fatal police shooting occurs earlier this week, we explore today how we can and will move forward by taking a look at the city's independent review office, its procedures, and potential. Can the activities of this office lead us toward true community policing, the goal suggested by the Department of Justice in its report? Or will we discover that there is a better way, a more community-involved way, to review the actions of APD's officers? We'll also be looking at what APD, Albuquerque Police Department, is doing immediately in the wake of the Justice Department report and what those the rollout of those reforms will look like. Joining me in studio today to discuss these issues are Albuquerque's Independent Review Officer, or IRO, Robin Hammer, and Andres Valdez, the Executive Director of Vecinos United. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Really appreciate it. Andres, let's begin with you now. Vecinos means neighbors in English. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So tell us, please, why and when your organization, Vecinos United, came into being.
Gosh, our organization started in 1989. It's really an all-round empowerment organization, and our forte has been political accountability, human and civil rights, and economic democracy, some cultural development.
Did your organization take a particular interest in the goings-on of the Albuquerque Police Department?
As a matter of fact, yes. It started because we had various chapters of Vecinos in Westgate, Westside, South Valley, and people would come, and we would meet with police officers regarding regular issues such as crime and stuff like that. Then later on, it evolved into police shootings. There was a rash of police shootings, and people were pretty outraged in the way these things happened, and that's how we started way back in, I'd say, right around about 1992.
So quite some time then.
Yes.
So what was your organization's reaction to that April 10th Department of Justice report?
It was lukewarm. We had warned all of the activists before the Department of Justice, when we were trying to get the DOJ to come, that the department was not going to find anybody criminally wrong that should be found criminally wrong. And I'm talking about the mayor. I'm talking about the district attorney, how she's gone on and not prosecuted or found any police shootings and the like, unjustified. But it was good. We're looking to see some changes, hopefully institutionally. Let's see how far they go. Some of the proposals we're looking at in terms of like a civilian oversight are really kind of cookie cutter type
All
of
right.
proposals.
Well, let's hang on to that for a little bit. But just to clarify, it's my understanding that if the Department of Justice wanted to bring criminal charges, it would set up a separate criminal investigation like it has regarding the James Boyd shooting in the foothills. Robin Hammer, is that accurate, that this was not going – there were not going to be criminal charges brought down in this report by the Office of Civil Rights?
I can't speak for the federal government, their procedures, but it's my understanding that it would be a separate announcement. They could have, I suppose, through this letter said that these are the cases we're looking at and given a little bit more information. But certainly criminal charges are separate from any civil remedies that the Department of Justice is looking for.
Okay. And so maybe we'll still see some of those in the future. Now, Robin Hammer, we all want to move forward, as I'm sure you do, with regard to the implementation of an effective plan of action crafted by the city and the Department of Justice. But let's spend a little time exploring how the Independent Review Office works in conjunction with the Police Oversight Commission and your role as the Independent Review Officer, or IRO. First, what is the role of the Independent Review Office?
The role of the Independent Review Office is to receive complaints filed by non-APD employees, citizens with the little c, any person who lives in the area of Albuquerque who interacts with the Albuquerque Police Department, may file a complaint either online or through writing to our office. And once we receive that complaint, then a team of my investigators fully investigate those complaints. And we can talk a little bit more about the procedure in a minute. But the second half of my job is to monitor and review and make findings with respect to all officer-involved shootings at the Albuquerque Police Department.
Okay. Well, just getting back to the complaint aspect by citizens, is the review office the only outlet for citizen input regarding police activities?
Well, there are many ways, such as Mr. Valdez and his organizations, that make their voices known. But for individual complaints there's lots of ways, I guess. There's civil liability as far as you can hire a lawyer
right. And
file a civil rights lawsuit, either a federal or state lawsuit against the department. And that's a private remedy obtained through the civil court system. And certainly that makes the police known that there's something improper, and money damages is generally the outcome from those civil rights lawsuits. But our organization, the Independent Review Office, looks at matters that may not be worthy of a lawyer's time, may not have money damages associated with them, but nonetheless, the allegation is the police didn't behave appropriately, didn't act according to their rules. And so my review and my office's review is once we receive the complaint, we interview the person who made the complaint, and we also, the police officers under their contract are required to cooperate with our investigations. And so in some respects, we're a personnel matter so that the officer can be held accountable through the discipline system of the Albuquerque Police Department through the chief, as well as then I provide information to the Police Oversight Commission, and myself, along with the Police Oversight Commission, make recommendations to the department for changes.
Well, let me – and you sort of just very briefly described that process, but let me step back a second and just ask you. So in terms of the APD, the Albuquerque Police Department, and the community, the intersection of – those entities, is the review office the only place, or are there other places where there's intentional sort of meeting of the community and the Albuquerque Police Department?
It's set up that the Police Oversight Commission would be a place for individuals to voice their concerns in the commission, hear those concerns, and make recommendations to the department. Under the current ordinance, if the Police Oversight Commission makes a recommendation to the chief of police in writing, the chief of police must respond in writing what his or her response to that recommendation is.
Okay. Now, you briefly described that citizen police complaint process, and that's public information. It's right out on the City of Albuquerque's website. When I looked at that process, there were a couple of things that stuck out to me, and the first was In the description of that process, it says the role of the independent review officer with regard to complaints is described as determining if there were any violations of APD's standard operating procedures. Do you see that as the sum total of your role with regard to citizen complaints, looking to see whether standard operating procedures were violated?
Well, I think it's a two-part system. I view whether the actions described do violate the standard operating procedures, whether the officer followed the rules which they're required to follow at all times. But once I find one way or the other, if there are – if it alerts me to an issue, then I certainly speak with the chief. I meet with the chief once a week, the chief of police once a week, and tell him the trends that we're seeing in complaints against us, both on individual officers and as an aggregate across the board, to make changes. And then I report some of those – well, I report all the findings to the Police Oversight Commission, who then can also review the citizen police complaints for ideas and suggestions to make to the Albuquerque Police Department.
Well, and that's the clarity I wanted to get at, because, you know, I asked I ask these questions because in the Justice Department report, the Department of Justice noted that the existing APD policy of allowing officers to shoot at tires was, quote, inconsistent with modern and acceptable police practices, unquote. And I'm curious, could it have been your role to bring that inconsistency to the attention of the Oversight Commission, the mayor, the chief, or the city council? Is there that? Do you have that kind of latitude?
Certainly I do, especially with the use of the lapel camera. We've had great input into changes at the department as far as what their rules are on lapel cameras. My office, as well as some members of the Police Oversight Commission, have talked about witness detention policy. The witness detention policy has been of local interest for lots of reasons. You know, setting the rules in which people who are mere witnesses to a crime, how they are treated by the Albuquerque Police Department, has been radically changed in the 18 months that I've been here.
Okay. We're talking today about the procedures and potential of the City of Albuquerque's Independent Review Office, as well as what the rollout of changes for APD will look like. If you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call In Show webpage at kunm.org, or you may call our local number, 277-5866, that's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Let's go ahead and bring in our first caller. It's Bill from Los Lunas, who actually wants to talk a little bit about the lapel cameras. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kathleen. Ms. Hammers, I want to thank you for mentioning the lapel cameras, but I don't believe that lapel is the right location for them. I think they should be eye level with the officer. I think a headband and the lapel cameras located at the temple would give us a better view and oversight of the crime scene. Thank you.
All right, Bill, thanks so much for your call, and you'd like to respond?
Sure. The use of cameras at the Albuquerque Police Department has evolved over time as the technology has changed. And I must point out that the Albuquerque Police Department is one of the few police agencies that requires the use of lapel cameras across the nation, and that the department has sort of been leading that charge to see the value both for the officer and for the citizens who interact with the officers of the use of cameras. The initial cameras that were given to the field services officers were placed in the center chest area of the officers on their where their button flap is of their field services uniform. The next type of technology of the camera is now being placed on top of their shoulder, which does give a much better view. Technology does exist for officers to wear cameras inside of glasses. They could be posted on their sunglasses. But I think that through use that officers prefer, unless they are already wearing eyeglasses anyway, to have them on their top of their shoulder so that they don't have to take them on and off as they would with the glasses mounted.
You know, a few weeks ago I sat here with a panel including Peter Simonson from the ACLU, and he said we need to pass a law that requires cameras to be on with some kind of punitive actions being taken against officers who do not turn it on. Because even in this latest shooting of Mary Hawks, apparently what we heard from Chief Eden yesterday was that there's no video available. So there's a question. We just don't know whether there was no camera turned on or if there was a malfunction. We don't know. But I know there's a suggestion that we actually pass a law that requires use of cameras rather than an internal policy.
Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Valdez.
You want to address that, Andres?
Well, actually, I would like to see if we can take the conversation in a different direction.
Well, let's do that in a minute. Okay. Let's finish up with this, and then we can.
Yes, with respect to cameras, it is technology, and to hold someone accountable with legal ramifications, criminal ramifications, at the beck and call of technology, I think that each. It's a very complex question. was it an intentional failure to turn on, or was it that the camera itself didn't work?
Okay, well,
so I think it's a very complex issue that I would say needs further study, and certainly that the desire to have everything videotaped at this point is outpacing the technology that's available.
We're talking today about the Independent Review Office, the rollout of APD's implementation of a plan. I'm joined today by Andres Valdez. He's the executive director of Vecinos United, and Robin Hammer, who is Albuquerque's Independent Review Officer. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll be talking with Andres and Robin Hammer and callers. Thanks so much.
Support provided by New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where increased member participation in their not-for-profit financial cooperative has increased benefits. For a financial calculator and member benefit details, go to nmefcu.org.
Lieber's Luggage carries all major brands of luggage, business cases, handbags, and travel accessories. Lieber's annual tent event is going on this week. Lieber's Luggage on Manal at Georgia is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, a survivor of the atomic blast over Hiroshima, Japan.
I don't feel so much, you know, I don't suffer so much, but many Japanese think bombing is useless.
Not necessary.
Not necessary.
We also hear from Miep Geese, who helped hide Anne Frank's family from the Nazis in Europe in World War II. And we consider the misconceptions about how much foreign aid the U.S. shares with the world. That's next time on Peace Talks Radio.
Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo, and today I'm talking with Albuquerque's Independent Review Officer, or IRO, Robin Hammer, and Andres Valdez, the Executive Director of Vecinos United. We're talking about the ongoing APD saga, the Department of Justice plan, and the office of the Independent Review Office. And Andres, I wanted to turn to you because I'm thinking that as part of your organization's tracking of APDs and city actions, there's been some consideration given to the role of the Independent Review Office, the Independent Review Officer, and also just civilian interaction with APDs. So I'm wondering, what do you and your organization believe needs to change with regard to the Independent Review Office?
Well, I'd like to first of all point out that the Independent Review Office is a portion and I guess a segment of the bigger, oversight mechanism, which is the Police Oversight Commission, which, some would probably be called the police, the Civilian Police Oversight Agency. Nevertheless, It's been the fundamental makeup of the agency that has led to problems in the past, which has been its lack of independency, and also its lack of authority to do things and make recommendations. In fact, three police oversight commissioners recently quit because, and one of them said, quote unquote, because it lacks teeth. So our organization, over the 20 years that we've been looking at what are the problems, why excessive force is justified by everybody, from the mayor to the police chief to the district attorney to the attorney general to every single city councilor that's ever sat in city council. Why? Why has this happened? And it's happened because there's no civilian oversight that's independent, truly. And there's only really two truly independent models of police oversight, and that's one that's elected by the people. Of course, it has to have a conflict of interest clause in there that would prohibit people associated with law enforcement to sit on it, because that's basically a natural bias, interestingly. Nevertheless, the other model is a jury-style citizen police review board. And I was looking at the proposal by Councillor Garduño and Councillor Brad Winter in terms of the changes they want to make to the police oversight ordinance, and they're calling their model independent, and it is not independent at all. It would be chosen, selected by city councillors. City councilors such as Don Harris, who purposely for 7 years appointed Linda Martinez to the Police Oversight Commission, who had a conflict of interest. She was also part of the Fraternal Order of Police that they say, public stand against a civilian oversight. So we would have corrupt city councilors making decisions like that. And I'm talking about like Councillor Don Harris, Councillor Brad Winter, for years sat Bambi Folk on the Police Oversight Commission. Bambi Folk was pretty close to being a Ku Klux Klan-minded type person. I know that's a strong statement, but it is so true. If you'd have to look, you'd have to go to these Police Oversight Commission meetings to really know how these Police Oversight Commissioners interacted with the public. It was terrible.
Well, and you've been going for years.
Yes,
I have not.
I have.
You've experienced it in depth. That is a strong statement.
It is.
But let's look at – so you said there are only two models, a jury style –
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the second model?
An elected police oversight commission with a conflict of interest clause.
All right, Robin Hammer, when you hear about those two type of proposals, and you're sitting already as the independent review officer, what do you think about those two proposals that are considered to be truly independent?
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to add that these two models need to have final authority on discipline.
Final authority.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think that with all due respect to Mr. Valdez, there are many more models across the nation of civilian oversight. I think that if our city councilors are involved in the selection of the police oversight commissioners, that we need to hold our city councilors accountable for that. And Mr. Valdez has been at the forefront of letting the citizens of Albuquerque know about his concerns and his agency's concerns about actions at the Police Oversight Commission. For instance, Mr. Valdez, along with the ACLU, filed a lawsuit against a then-sitting Police Oversight Commissioner, Richard Schein.
And that's not true. I filed a complaint against the whole Police Oversight Commission.
And the, excuse me, Mr. Valdez, let me finish. Mr. Schein. The ACLU lawsuit was against Commissioner Schein, Commissioner Martinez, and the whole Police Oversight Commission.
Yes.
And Mr. Valdez had a separate lawsuit against the entire Police Oversight Commission, I believe. But nonetheless, through that lawsuit, which ultimately was settled by the city without any admission of liability, it brought that this idea of who are the police oversight commissioners and what responsibilities do they have and are they fulfilling their jobs to the forefront of the citizens of Albuquerque. So I think that no matter what system we set up, in the end, it needs to be quality people committed to be fair and impartial, because both the persons who are affected by APD and APD, the officers themselves, because this ultimately, on in many cases, is a personal matter. Is a personnel matter. So.
Okay. I just want to remind callers that they're welcome to call in with their comments and questions. You can call 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Andres, you wanted to follow up.
Yes. I think it's important to respond to the models that exist on civilian oversight across the country. That's true. Robin is correct about that. There's many models out there, but none, and I guarantee you, are independent. All of them either make recommendations to the police chief, and it's the police chief that has historically been the person that that exonerates police officers and lets them get away with murder. It was Police Chief Ray Schultz, and before him, there was many other police chiefs. Police Chief Joseph Polizar did the same thing. Police Chief Stover, Police Chief Galvin, Police Chief Gallegos, all of them did the same thing. So it's an inherent conflict of interest for police officers to issue the appropriate discipline to officers. So it's important for a police oversight commission to be completely independent from, that's the other thing. City councilors, mayors have historically corrupted and placed police people in civilian oversight that are political cronies and serve the purpose of the police department. So it's important for them to be totally independent, which means elected or jury style, that have final authority on discipline. These are very important. And these other models across the country don't have these elements.
Would you like to respond, Robin, or can I go to an email question?
I would prefer the email question.
Okay. So this is important, and we were going to go through this, but a caller asks, what exactly is the process for registering a complaint against a police officer at APD? Details, please.
The details are you can go to our website, which is www.cabq.gov/IRO. And in there, you can there's a link to file a complaint. Also, if you go to the city's website and go through the police department's link, that's /police, there is a link as well to get to us. In addition, if you call our office, which is 924-3770, we can mail you a written complaint if you do not have access to the Internet.
Okay, let's just say that again. So it's cabq.gov/IRO, and that process is detailed right on that page with a link to filing a complaint. Let's bring in a caller. It's Barbara from Albuquerque. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, yes. I'm calling to ask Ms. Hammer if she has ever upheld a citizen complaint. I imagine she could probably give us a citation of one or two that she might have actually ruled on in favor of a citizen. But she says there have been procedural changes in her 18 months there, and I'm wondering if this includes the recent interpretation of the Police Oversight Commission's authority that led to the resignation of half of the seated POC. The reason that we only had 6 out of 9 members of the POC is that some of the city councilors refused to even appoint anybody to what they already recognized as a relative sham board. So anyway, I'm wondering, and also she mentioned earlier how she meets with the police chief and tells him what are the issues that are going on against us. And so I'm thinking that she really isn't independent. She's working for the police chief and the police officers and not the public. So I'd just like to have some comments about that. Thank you.
All right, Barbara, thanks so much for your call today. And Robin, please go ahead and address those.
Sure. I think that to implement change in any organization, you have to have communication with that organization. If I never met with the police chief and never let him know what the concerns of the citizens are that I'm seeing through the complaints, then there would be no change. I could send emails to the chief just like any other citizen can send an email to the chief. But by meeting with him and in person and telling him these are the concerns of the citizens that we're seeing, these are the issues that we're seeing with individual officers, these are the concerns that we're seeing in the aggregate of issues that are being brought forth, it's through that dialogue that change can occur. Sitting back in the corner and shooting pot shots from a distance, it's been my experience professionally and personally, doesn't accomplish very much. And so with respect to changes in procedures with the three commissioners recently resigning, it's been my experience that the current ordinance has worked not perfectly, but has worked at some level for the last 10 years. The three commissioners who resigned had their own reasons, but chose not to work within the system that was there to change the system, but to step out of it and not be from the inside changing the system, which I would submit is it's an easier and more effective to be part of the system to change it than standing outside and shouting from outside the system.
Well, let me ask you a question, because right in that listing on the webpage that we gave the address for, the role of the Police Oversight Commission is described as reviews the IRO's findings regarding individual citizen police complaints, officer-involved shooting, and makes policy recommendations to the Albuquerque Police Department. Now, in their resignation letters last week, the three members who resigned said they could not continue to pretend that they had power of the over the Albuquerque Police. When I read the language about what their role is there power in that role? Did the commission have any power?
Can I respond to that?
Well, let me ask Robin first and then absolutely, Andres.
Thank you.
The Police Oversight Commission does have power in that they can make those recommendations. And it's through knowledge that information given to the public that the things, that change happens. Change doesn't happen from standing outside the organization and screaming. Change happens by an insightful dialogue between the parties. So,
all right, Andres, you wanted to respond to whether the Police Oversight Commission has any power.
The Police Oversight Commission has no power. That's why these three guys finally resigned and felt they were deceiving the public. And the crux of the matter is that the attorney that is supposed to give legal advice to the Police Oversight Commission is very, very partial towards police.
Well,
and in fact, the whole city attorney, there's been proposals to remove the city attorney as the legal counsel for the Police Oversight Commission. And this is one crux in the system. This is one thing in the system they purposely placed in there to destroy the civilian process.
Well, Andres, you know, it's a judgment call about what you're saying, but it also could be that the ordinance itself does not provide them with enough power.
It's after studying how the process works for 20 years. It's not a judgment call. It's an analysis and evaluation as to how the system is set up.
Let's go ahead and bring in some more callers. We have full lines. Let's bring in Simon from Albuquerque. Good morning, Simon.
Yes, I'd like to comment that I attended two Police Oversight Commission hearings, one where Mr. Valdez was told by then-commission member Schein, "We will decide what you can talk about." This has also been recorded.
That's right.
Mr. Valdez was escorted out of chamber by two officers. And then I was there when a young man who had a complaint against a police officer, he claimed the officer held a taser to his head. The Police Oversight Commission took testimony from someone claiming to be a tow truck driver over a cell phone call. The young man was so disturbed by this that he just stormed out. He never even read his statement that he was going to read for the commission. So the only two commission hearings I attended, I found to be rather absurd. And I would like to, and you can watch these online.
They're absurd.
And so thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. Simon, Andres Valdez, you want to elaborate a bit? Clearly his point was he thought commission meetings were absurd.
Yes, everybody in city government, everybody knows that the Police Oversight Commission is a joke. In fact, Mr. Brad Winter, who helped to create the Police Oversight Commission on one day on the side, said, "You know, Andres, yes, we need to change this thing. It's a joke." And it is a joke. Anybody who attends these things knows it's just a dog and pony show, and it's a mess. It's pathetic. I think there's also a call to just do away the Police Oversight Commission until the new ordinance comes into existence.
Well, what I want to ask you is, do you see any hope for change within the existing structure itself? Are you saying the structure needs to be dismantled entirely?
It needs to be dismantled entirely. There's only hope if people stop playing politics. You know, you have Senator Garduño here writing up a draft, calling it what his
Counselor
proposal.
Counselor Garduño?
Yeah.
Okay.
Calling his draft independent, that is going to be an independent police oversight commission or agency. It's not. If it's appointed by people and like Don Harris, who's totally corrupt, like Trudy Jones, who's like on pretty close.
Let's stay away from the personal attacks.
Okay, I'm sorry about the personal attacks. The thing is, there is corruption in city and in city council, and we don't want corrupt city councilors appointing these guys.
And our recourse there is the ballot box or the recall
independent
measure.
Independent.
Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. It's Ryan from Albuquerque. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I have a quick comment. I had some interesting perspective on the most recent officer shooting and killing of the young lady a few days ago. This was the exact officer that about a year and a half ago arrested me for DWI. After a very long and expensive court process, was found not guilty. My success in that court battle was due to the fact that Officer Deere did in fact choose to turn his lapel camera off, then later lied and arrest me as I was passing the field sobriety test, then later lied in court and said that his lapel camera failed. So I just want to say, if we're going to, as taxpayers, pay for these tools of, that are supposed to be used for oversight, there has to be some accountability for the police officers to not just choose to be able to turn their camera off and take that that true eye out of the crime scene.
And
because
and Ryan, I'm curious, did you file a complaint following that encounter with Officer Deer?
No, ma'am. He was present for all seven of the total court visits that it took before we finally were given a chance to testify. And I didn't think of it to make a complaint until I was found innocent based off of that. And then I heard that this officer had again been involved in an issue regarding his lapel camera. So I think that at this point, I probably will, because I feel like it's an important fact. Your guests were bringing up specific individual names, and I realize this isn't about, you know, attacking one person or individual, but there really does need to be accountability on the individual level. So
well, and
APD as a whole is not bad, but this officer clearly is delinquent,
well,
and now a woman is dead.
Well, and Ryan, just to be clear, I wasn't judging you about making or not making a complaint. It was just a matter of curiosity because I wanted to ask, and thank you so much for your call, Ryan. What is he still able to make a complaint? Could he? And
No, under the ordinance that's currently in place, you have 90 days to file a complaint against an officer from the date of the incident.
And that was one of the Department of Justice findings, was it not, that time limit needed to be expanded? That sort of chilled the complaint process along with several other things. So he's unable to make a complaint now. But if he had come to you, is that the type of incident you want people to come to you?
Certainly. We investigate all claims that are filed in our office, regardless of whether they involve being arrested for a crime or whether it's just an interaction with the Albuquerque Police Department. Anytime that a citizen or a person who lives and is interacting with the Albuquerque Police Department, we encourage people to file complaints with us so that we can fully investigate those. Our office is not situated in the police department by ordinance. Our investigators do not work for the police department. And the independent review office investigators don't. And I review all of the investigators' work. So it's certainly that if there is a problem with the Albuquerque Police Department, we want to know about it.
We're talking today with independent review officer Robin Hammer and Andres Valdez, the executive director of Vecinos United. We're talking about the Albuquerque's independent review office and just in general, the APD. You are welcome to join us by emailing your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number 277-5866 or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. We'd like to hear from you. What police complaint review body and process would you like to see in Albuquerque? We'll be back with you after a short break.
We may not admit it, but many of us develop a real bond with our cars. Some may even call it love. But many years and many miles can bring them to the point where they just won't run anymore. Or maybe they've sustained too much body damage to fix. It's a way to honor your beloved car or truck one last time to turn it over to your other love, KUNM. We'll tow it away gently, sell it, and turn the proceeds into great radio. So go ahead, call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Climate One is a conversation about America's energy, economy, and environment. To understand any of them, you have to understand them all. I'm Greg Dalton. How does the melting snowpack in the mountains and clear-cutting forests affect our health in the cities? And what are we doing about it? On the next Climate One.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. And before we get to callers, just I want to read a couple of comments that came in from listeners. An email comment from Mark LeClaire, who says, there would be no need for lapel cameras or training or Department of Justice reviews if there were criminal convictions in cases of unjustified use of force by police officers. That's the only thing that will make a difference. A Twitter comment.
I agree.
The Police Oversight Commission should be civilians, public pays police salaries, and the public are the stakeholders. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Paul from Albuquerque. Good morning, Paul.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, Paul.
A couple of things that I've been thinking about. The fact that the police have to deal with a lot of the mentally ill that have been put on the streets by years ago, probably within the last 15 to 20 years when we turned around and closed a lot of our mental health facilities.
You know, last week, Paul, we addressed that issue in depth. I don't know if you had a chance to listen.
I don't always get a chance to listen, okay. But that's a good thing if you addressed it. But the other thing is the police are not trained mental health professionals. They just don't know. And the other thing is we ought to be able to, with the millions they spent on these lapel cameras and shoulder cameras, they ought to be able to have them on all the time. They should be on constantly so that you never know what they're going to run into. Or, you know, rather than having to figure out, well, I got to turn this on before I do anything.
Well, and in the Department of Justice report again, Paul, the Justice Department noted that it's often used as a justification for not turning on a camera that if something happened in the moment and they could not get to it. So I understand
right.
that.
But then your caller that was just recently on there, too, said that the same officer was in the same mode. I mean, they should be just trained, turn it on. I mean, you're getting out of your car, you click a button, you're done.
All right. And, Paul, I do want to just mention for you and other listeners that the podcast of last week's show where we talked about APD and mental health issues is posted on KUNM.org. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Stan from Socorro. Good morning, Stan.
Hello there. Thank you for your discussion. My question, I just want to briefly suggest that the officer's job, which is under high pressure emotionally, all respect to those officers. The behavior of a lot of these incidents that are reported, impetuous behavior, violence, and everything, makes me think of steroid rage. I wonder if the officers are checked for drug tested for steroid use, whether any investigation has been taken into this. That seems to be a problem in police forces across the nation. That's my suggestion, and thank you for your discussion.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, Andres, you wanted to respond?
Yes, I did. I really don't think that there's drug testing of police officers. And you know, maybe for steroid use, yes, but, I mean, there should definitely be, you know, general drug testing for police officers as well. You know, there's cases where they're – where they, I guess –
Well, let me find out. Does,
sure.
Does that indeed happen?
Yes, there is random drug testing for Albuquerque Police Department
random.
Officers, including steroid use.
Okay, so proceed light of that, then.
Well, I guess that's not so known, but you know, that's interesting that maybe that would be not just random. Or
okay, let's go ahead and move to our next caller. It's Carol from Albuquerque. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I had two issues, but I'll make it very brief. When I had observed a crew, maybe five police officers, had a man down, and they were just beating the tar out of him, and I witnessed that right practically at my front door. A little later, I witnessed a laser incident on TV. It was a film.
A laser or a taser?
Taser, I mean.
Okay.
A taser event with the police that they had shown on the TV news that I thought was really, the methods used were very, very questionable to me. So I called the Oversight Committee to raise some questions and hopefully get some explanations and I wanted to complain. And when I called the Oversight Committee all I got was the gentleman turned me directly over to the police department itself. That's how independent it was.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's. When did this happen?
Well, it was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
That's
and the other thing I wanted to point out is that because I think we need better salaries and a lot more police, because I don't think we're getting top quality in some instances. And also, in my experience here of 25 years, in the last most recent residence here, the police have not attended to my more minor crime problems, because I think they're, you know, they can only be out there taking care of some guy who's chopping his son's head off. They're taking care of the worst possible things that are going on. There don't seem to be enough police to nip things in the bud, like when my purse was taken out of my hands and when there was an intruder at my window and we could identify him and they could have stopped him from bothering other neighbors. You know, nothing was done.
Well, let's go ahead and thank you for your call today, Carol, and let's let our guests address some of what you've spoken about. Either of you, do you know, are we at full capacity for officers now? I know years ago there was a question of not having enough officers. Has that requirement been met now, number of officers?
The target number is 1,100 officers, and there are certainly several hundred fewer than that. So somewhere between 800 and 900 is my understanding.
That's okay. Correct. That's correct. There is.
And do you have other response to this caller today, Andres, Carol?
Well, you know, it has to do a lot with the way the police department is being run, and it's very much sits on the shoulders of the mayor as well, and the new chief just recently coming in seems to have started off on the wrong foot already, and it has to do with the morale, you know, of the police department. You know, these guys leaving. There's several senior officers that are leaving, and the new guys that are coming in are not getting the, hands-on training that's provided by older officers that are not there now because they're leaving.
And one thing I noted in the Department of Justice report was a very strong urging to move to community policing.
Yes.
And all that entails, so that we are in this together. And mm-hmm. I'm curious whether you feel you have the resources in your office, Robin, to go out and address the community, to let people know what the procedures are, what the process is, and what can be done by your office.
Certainly not. In the past, the Independent Review Office has not been fully funded to a level to provide a lot of community outreach. There is on my staff, there's myself, three investigators who spend their time fully investigating complaints, a support staff assistant, and an analyst who's looking at trends and making reports on our work. So the Department of Justice report requested that the city hire or provide funds for an outreach person that the citizens can know that we, one, exist, and two, we want to hear from them, and we're there to provide an input from them to the police department. There's a mechanism for that. And so the woman who just called, who was told that she couldn't file a complaint. I want to say that I don't know what happened 2 years ago. I've only been in the job for 18 months. But I can tell you that we certainly look at all complaints. And even if people see things on TV that they're upset with, we take complaints of that. Or third-party complaints, someone who just witnessed something down the street, we receive and investigate all of those complaints. But on the flip side, I want to say that we also take at our office job well done's compliments to the police department, which are then forwarded to the chief and to the officers and to the officers' commanders. So we know what if people want to say you did a terrible job, and we also want to know if you did. People say we were thankful for your work, and so it's both sides. But it is a partnership. The community must have input and be willing to participate.
Well, here's a community member who wants to make some input. It's Becca from Albuquerque with some suggestions about how to make things more effective. Thank you for joining us this morning, Becca.
Good morning. Yeah, I had two things. And first, I wanted to make sure I understood this correctly, and Robin, feel free to correct me if this is the case. So the POC does not have any power to remove someone's badge or gun or move them to a desk job. They have the power to make recommendations, but my understanding is that the police chief is not required to respond to their recommendations in writing. Is that correct? That's part one.
Yeah, they are required to make a the chief is required to respond in writing. But I must say that when I make a sustained finding of a violation of a standard operating procedure, which are the rules that police must follow, each violation or each rule has a sanction associated with it, which has been in place under the standard operating procedures. And so in cases in which I've found that an officer had lied during our investigation, that has resulted in the termination of that officer. So it's not as though it's powerless. They aren't the Police Oversight Commission doesn't impose the discipline. The chief imposes the discipline. But based upon what the infraction is and what the chart of sanctions is, sort of like federal sentencing guidelines, there are guidelines the chief must follow to impose discipline.
Well, and I think that's new information. So the chief must follow certain sanctions regarding the offense. Well, if this is out there and this is what he needs to do, has he been doing it, whichever chief it might be? We've had so many.
I don't think that's correct at all. I think that the language that is in the new police oversight ordinance, that it does say that the chief is required to respond in writing. I'm not sure if that's the case right now. And we know for a fact that if there is a chart of sanctions, that definitely the chief does not follow them. It's clear.
Is that something that could be made public?
The chart of sanctions?
Yes.
Yes, it's a standard operating procedures are found on the police's website, and it's also found through a link of our website.
And there are three parts to those standard operating procedures, and I do want to let people know they can view them as a read-only document. When I went to access them, it asked for a password if I wanted to modify them. Now, maybe I did or didn't, and that's beside the point, but you can read those operating procedures, and the sanctions, the suggested sanctions, are within that document?
Yes, they're in the first chapter. I believe it's 1-09. Chart of sanctions that are in there.
So what do we do when we have a police chief that doesn't follow the chart of sanctions?
Well, without myself personally seeing those sanctions and knowing what was imposed for certain offenses, I cannot say that he has not followed them.
Well, okay, for example, the human waste disposal guy, Trey Economiti, who shot Michelin in the back. Had he followed the chart of sanctions, Michelin would not be working for APD. You know, there's several officers that have just done horrible, horrible infractions that wouldn't be working for APD had a chart of sanctions been followed.
All right. Well, let's thanks so much for your call, Becca. I know we didn't get to your second part. I do want to get to an email question from Scott Cameron. Does the Department of Justice take citizen complaints? The Police Oversight Commission complaint process was a waste of time. Those are his words when he did it a few years ago. So does the Department of Justice take citizen complaints at this point?
The Department of Justice does not take citizen complaints. Is that what you're saying?
That's what the email question is.
No, it does not. The Department of Justice is here to, I guess, structurally fix what's broken with APD and also, on some cases, make criminal referrals to their criminal division. But other than that, that's what they're here for.
Okay, and let me go ahead and mention a couple of things that are happening in the city here. There are some community meetings that are going to be held by the Department of Justice at three separate locations on April 28th, 29th, and 30th. You can Google that and find out about that. There is a TEDx Albuquerque Salon Thursday, May 1st, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Albuquerque Museum. So those are a couple of things the public can attend. We're in our wrap-up stage. Very briefly, Robin Hammer, is there anything you'd like to say? We have about just a few seconds for you here.
Say that we want to know the Albuquerque Police if they're doing well or not doing well. And you can give us that information at our website.
And Andres, thanks for all the policing of the police over the years. Yes. Is there anything you'd like to say very briefly?
Yes, I'd like to say we're calling for the resignation of the mayor and the district attorney, Kerry Brandenburg. There needs to be heads need a role regarding what's occurred, and there needs to be some consequences.
All right. Thanks to our guests, Andres Valdez, executive director of Vecinas United, Albuquerque's independent review officer, Robin Hammer, for making themselves to our available. Thank you. And thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show on KUNM, news and music that connect from the University of New Mexico.